All right, well, welcome to the Statesman Journal's Explore Oregon podcast. I'm your host, Zachary Ness, and in each episode, we highlight Oregon's most beautiful and interesting places. In today's show, we're headed into the snow. Yes, the spring snow season is a glorious time in Oregon, so stay with me here. We're going to talk about a place with skiing, snowshoeing, snowy waterfalls, hidden cabins in the woods, and even hot springs, all in one place. Before we get rolling, I want to highlight the sponsors of this podcast that make it possible for us to hire and pay our outdoor journalism interns every spring, summer, and fall. Our first sponsor is the American Forest Resource Council, supporting responsible forestry on public lands throughout the Pacific Northwest. Learn more at amforest.org. We're also supported by Visit Tillamook Coast, a land of ocean and forests just an hour from the Willamette Valley that this spring will offer special volunteer vacations, designed for visitors to spend a day doing a stewardship project and another headed out on a Tillamook Coast adventure. We'll have more details on this a little bit later in the show. Finally, we're brought to you by the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department that reminds visitors to leave no trace and buy local firewood when camping at state parks to limit the spread of invasive insects. Okay, up next, we are headed to the top of Willamette Pass. But first, here's some guitar music to get us rolling. Well, hello there, Oregonians who are basking in the glory of all this early spring sun. I know that many of you have your minds in the wildflowers right about now because of the near record warmth, but this podcast is going to be all about the spring snow up in the Cascade Mountains. Yes, we are headed to one of my favorite winter recreation areas, and that is Willamette Pass along Highway 58 southeast of Eugene. If you're not a fan of spring snow, I get it, but please allow me to at least take a swing at changing your mind. March and April in the Cascades are a chance for both beautiful weather and deep snow. It's warm and it's often sunny. The days are really long, which allows for extended adventures. You can often ski with a t-shirt. There's big blue sky views of snow-capped mountains. And if you're not careful, there's a very good chance you'll get a sunburn. Now, this particular spring also happens to be a good one for snow. Oregon has once again built up a pretty good snowpack that, at least for now, is above average. And what that means is that the snow is going to last through spring break and into April, if not longer, so there should be plenty of time to take advantage. Now, the place I'm spotlighting today has spring snow for both beginners and more advanced explorers, and that is right at the top of Willamette Pass. I'm going to talk about my favorite place to stay overnight, and then places to go downhill skiing, snowshoeing or cross-country skiing, and do some other activities as well. We'll talk about a place to see a giant waterfall covered in snow, spend the night in a backcountry snow shelter, and even relax in some hot springs pools. Willamette Pass is a place that kind of has everything in one spot. And even if you decide to skip it this spring, it'll always be waiting for you next winter. So, let's get into it. All right, so if you live in Eugene, and a fair number of you listeners do, a lot of you are just going to head out to Willamette Pass for a day trip. It's really only about an hour's drive, so you can totally pull off a pretty long extended day trip, especially during the spring. But if you do that, you're missing out a little bit, just because Willamette Pass has this really nice scene up there at the top of the mountains where it's wild, but there's also a lot of amenities. So let's start off by talking about a good place to make a base camp or stay the night. And luckily, in this case, there's a few really great options, some of my favorite in the state, actually. The most beloved spot up here is Odell Lake Resort. a winter wonderland with hotels and cabins, along with a little restaurant and delightful fireside room. I've stayed at Odell a few times now, and while it is old-fashioned, it's a super fun place for a family to stay or a very romantic getaway for couples. There are actually sleigh rides here at times. There's a sledding hill, along with snowshoe rentals, trails, and just a lot of options right there at the resort. My favorite part of the lodge is the big room with a roaring fireplace where you can kind of sit back with a drink. You can play some chess. You can talk in very sophisticated tones about world politics or whatever. It has that feel of being in the Swiss Alps, except without the prices of being in the Swiss Alps. I just recently stayed at a lodge room and it was less than $100 per night, which is pretty tough to beat because like you go to a Best Western in like Sisters or Bend or something like that, it's like $150. But you can stay at this lodge up in the snow for, you know, $100 per night. So if you're making a base camp, Odell Lake is an obvious choice. Now, another spot up here that I have to recommend that has slightly larger and more modern cabins is Shelter Cove Resort. It's on the other side of Odell Lake, and the cabins they rent there are just a little bit newer, they're a little bit larger, and they're just a little bit nicer. They don't have that kind of old-fashioned feel, you're not right next to the lodge and that fireside room, but it does bring something different to the table. So those are my recommendations if you're headed up there to stay the night. Okay, next let's talk about getting geared up. Now the activities I'm going to suggest revolve around downhill skiing, cross-country skiing, and snowshoeing. Now, if you don't have that equipment, it's okay because there are great options to rent right on your way up. Now, for downhill skis, I just rent from Willamette Pass Resort, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, which is kind of right in the middle of everything up there. But if you're wanting to explore the great networks of backcountry trails, you'll need Nordic skis, snowshoes, and a snow park permit. And this network of backcountry trails is really what I like about the area. It's a nice counterpoint to the downhill skiing at Willamette Pass, so I would recommend it, especially if you're going to be up there for a day or two. Now, if you don't have the gear, a stop at Willamette Mountain Mercantile / Oak Ridge Bike Shop is a great stop. Now, this is one of my favorite outdoor shops in Oregon. It's right in Oak Ridge along Highway 58. It's just really easy to stop in there, get whatever you need for a good price before you continue on your way up towards Willamette Pass. Their price is pretty affordable, and if you forgot something like sunglasses, sunscreen, or a water bottle, they've got you covered. One other thing to grab up there is a map. So to explore the wonderful trails that lead you to the hidden snow shelters or big views of Diamond Peak, you definitely need a map. Now there are some pretty good maps online, particularly at the web pages for Gold Lake Snow Park or Salt Creek Snow Park, which are two places I'm going to talk about. Like you can go there, you can click on it, and there are maps there that you can print off. And that works okay. But personally, I just love to have a map and everything for an entire area and descriptions of everything in an entire area. And so for that, you want to lay hands on a Willamette Pass winter recreation map if you can. The trails out there can get confusing, so getting one of those, it's specific to winter trails, it shows all the snow parks, all the different routes and stuff like that, it's just a really great map. All right, so now that you've got your reservation to stay overnight, you've got your equipment, what's next? Well, now I'm going to hit on some of the adventures that are possible in the Willamette Pass area during this winter or spring snow season. The first place I have to mention, because it's just the biggest thing there is in this area, is Willamette Pass Resort for downhill skiing or snowboarding. I've mentioned this on the podcast in the past, but the kids ski free up to 12 years old is just about the best thing since sliced bread up here, and that is true at Willamette Pass. You'll often find pretty good deals on lift tickets too, especially midweek for adults. They have dynamic pricing, which means like when it's a pretty quiet day, you'll often find lift tickets as low as like $19, $25 or something like that. So that's pretty solid. Willamette Pass also has great terrain. You know, you talk to people who really love downhill skiing and they'll always mention Willamette Pass. It just has lots and lots of terrain to explore, whether you're, you know, a beginner, whether you're more of an expert. There's a lot of good stuff to ski up there. People do compare it to Bachelor. It's not nearly as large, but it's much more affordable. And again, the terrain is fantastic. The only thing that's lacking at Willamette Pass, and this is a big one, is that they need night skiing. You know, like, they just need to put up some lights and have night skiing, because they close at 4 p.m. It kind of limits what you can do, especially with some of those spur of the moment trips. So that's my only beef with Willamette Pass Resort. Everything else, real solid. They're also open 7 days a week, tend to stay open later in the year. So I'm pretty sure I'll be skiing here multiple times, you know, around spring break and even beyond. Okay, now let's head just down the road to one of Oregon's best and most popular snow parks, and that is Gold Lake Snow Park. There's just a ton of trails that branch out from this parking lot for kids and beginners to much more advanced explorers. There is a lot to see here. Now, the big highlight at Gold Lake is snow shelters. The backcountry huts with a little fire stove that make a great place to stop for lunch or even spend the night. The ones here mostly have a loft, so you can fit a couple people in there. It's first come, first serve, and a lot of them are open on one side too. So it's an adventure, but it's a fun one. And, you know, staying overnight in a little snow shelter, just it's not like anything else. So there are four different snow shelters that you can reach from Gold Lake. And why don't we go from easiest to most challenging? So the first one is Westview Shelter. I just wrote a story about it, but it's only 2 miles round trip, and it makes for a great kid or beginner snowshoe. It begins at the back of the parking lot at Gold Lake Snow Park, and it follows big and wide Abernathy Road for a half mile before you reach a little trail branching off to the left. And yes, there's pretty good signs there, so it's pretty tough to get lost. So you follow that little narrower trail kind of into the forest, and then get to a junction, hang a left, and there it is. Westview has a very cozy vibe, almost like a little hobbit home, especially after a big dump of snow where you could just barely see the entrance. It's just like a tiny little entrance to get in there. It's a three-sided shelter, and my favorite part of it is the little wooden ladder that leads up to a sleeping loft up there. Very cozy, although you obviously have to bring everything. These are not outfitted snow shelters. Like, there's no mattresses, there's no creature comforts. They're very Spartan, so you pack all your stuff in there, especially if you're going to spend the night. But you don't have to spend the night. It's just a great place to hang out for a little while, have some fun, and then continue. If you're a kid, this is just a really fun spot. Up next, I'm actually going to go the opposite direction to Gold Lake Shelter. So for this one, you actually have to hop across Highway 58 and you go on to Gold Lake Road. And once you're there, it's very easy. It makes for a nice little downhill ski or snowshoe for a little more than 2 miles or 4 miles round trip to reach Gold Lake Shelter. Now, the highlight here is the view of the lake, which is just a little bit away from the shelter, but this is just another fun snow shelter. It's easy to get to. It's very straightforward. You just follow the road pretty much the entire way and you're there. Beginner friendly for sure. So up next we get just a little bit tougher, but not too much. And that is the route to Bechtel Shelter, which is maybe 4.5 miles round trip. It's got a little bit of a steep climb at the end to reach it. So I would say it's just a bit of a tougher trip than the other two, although not by that much. So it begins on the same route that you take to Westview, following that Abernathy Road, but then you kind of keep going, the trail branches off. The good news again is that there are plenty of signs to point out where you're going, although you should still have a map. Bechtel is similar to Westview in a lot of ways, with the fun little sleeping loft, maybe just a little bit more space, and that is our third snow shelter up there. Finally, we've got a challenging route, and this one takes you to Maiden Peak Shelter. This one is 5 miles one way, or 10 miles round trip thereabouts, with over 1,000 feet of climb. And again, this isn't like hiking, this is in the winter, so it's definitely more challenging. But it's also a different kind of shelter, and a really cool one. I haven't been out there yet, I want to check it out. It's octagon-shaped, first of all, and unlike the others, it's fully enclosed. You know, it's got the roof, it's enclosed, so it's obviously easier to stay warm. There's a large sleeping loft, a wooden floor, several benches, 3 tables, and a solar lighting system, and a large wood stove. This one is definitely designed for more advanced backcountry skiers. Many of them do explore this area, especially during that spring season, because again, those longer days give you the chance to do more, cover more terrain. So those are the big four snow shelters you can access from Gold Lake Snow Park. There's lots of big views and different trails along the way as you're going to and from those shelters. Among the most highly regarded are the Midnight Lakes Trail, the Diamond View Loop, Eagle Rock Overlook, and even Maiden Peak, if you want to get ambitious. So get out your map, look at the shelters, look at these viewpoints, check it out, and get out there. All right, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. When we return, we'll head down the road to a big waterfall, a big view of Diamond Peak, and finally, some hot springs. So stay with us.
I'm Andy Geisler. I'm a forester at the American Forest Resource Council, and we're proud to sponsor the Explore Oregon podcast. Like you, I love the outdoors. On many days, the forest is my office. I work on the ground with public lands agencies on good forest management projects. Forest management helps achieve important conservation goals while providing sustainable timber. Science-based forestry helps improve wildlife habitat, outdoor recreation, clean air, and water. And it's essential to providing renewable, climate-friendly wood products. Learn more about us at amforest.org.
This message is brought to you by Visit Tillamook Coast. The Tillamook Coast Visitors Association is excited to bring back their Volunteer Adventures program for 2024 that will welcome groups from inside or outside Tillamook County to lend a hand in stewardship programs while also having a good time. One example of an itinerary would be spending one day clearing invasive brush or working on a hiking trail. The next would include something like a guided hike or kayak trip, the type of activity that highlights the Tillamook area and shows why doing stewardship projects is so important. All meals, lodging, and activities are included. The program is designed to offer participants the opportunity to give back to our popular area while also learning the vital role stewardship plays in preserving our natural places. If you want more information or to sign up early, search for Tillamook Coast Volunteer Adventures or email Dan Hagg at dan@tillamookcoast.com. Once again, that email is dan@tillamookcoast.com. Our third and final sponsor is the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department that invites Oregonians to explore parks this fall and winter to experience the beauty of those seasons. If you're camping, remember to get firewood from sources local to your destination to avoid bringing invasive insects, such as the devastating emerald ash borer, into parks. This will help preserve the health of Oregon's forests for seasons to come. Learn more about protecting Oregon's ash trees at stateparks.oregon.gov. All right, welcome back. All right, the next place I've got to mention, although I've definitely highlighted it a few times on this podcast already, so I'm going to breeze past it a little bit, and that is just down Highway 58 to Salt Creek Snow Park. So to recap, this is, you park at the snow park, and there is a fairly easy snowshoe or ski, or a lot of times you can just wear micro spikes or just walk in boots to beautiful Salt Creek Falls. You know, it's covered in snow and ice. It's one of the tallest waterfalls in Oregon, and it's just a beautiful spot, and a lot of people can just get down there by hiking in their boots. If you're up for a more challenging but fun adventure, there is a 4.5-mile loop that takes you into the little backcountry past lower Diamond Creek Falls, which for my money, just because it's kind of tucked away in the forest, is actually a more beautiful and kind of intimate experience than Salt Creek Falls. Salt Creek Falls is huge. It's awesome. But lower Diamond Creek Falls, it's just tucked back in the forest, covered in snow. It's really a beautiful little spot. So the full loop is probably easiest with snowshoes. It's very doable for people in good shape. But if you're good at skiing, you can also pull it off. But even though Salt Creek is the name of the snow park, one of the more interesting routes here is actually across the highway, and it takes you up to Fuji Mountain Shelter. So for this one, you pop across the highway onto Fuji Mountain Road, and then you just start climbing. It's 3.5 to 4 miles to Fuji Mountain Shelter, which provides a knockout view of Diamond Peak. It's pretty steep. I think it climbs north of 1,000 feet, but it would make a really interesting place to spend the night. After all that work, you've got the striking view up top. And from Fuji, you can access really beautiful Birthday Lakes trail systems. Again, I've never done this whole trail system, but I've been told it's spectacular. You can obviously ski or snowshoe up to the shelter, but it does sound like a little bit more fun to be able to ski back down after gaining all that elevation. All right, well, I promised hot springs, and now it is time to deliver. So the hot springs in question here are McCready Hot Springs, and there's kind of two different ways to visit them. So you can park at the obvious McCready Day Use Area. It's right along Highway 58. It's well marked. And from that point, you can walk down to the river, and there are some hot springs right there. The other option, and I think the better option, requires a short hike on the other side of the Middle Fork Willamette River. So on the opposite bank, there are some larger pools and a few more spaces. Getting there is just a little tricky, not too tricky, you just gotta know how to do it. So from McCready, you actually drive back up Highway 58 and look for Shady Gap Road. So you hang a right on that, you follow it a short distance to an obvious pullout on the right. It'll take you over the river to a pretty obvious pullout on the right. Then you just find a decent little trail and you hike towards the smell of sulfur and the hot springs in question. It literally takes you to the opposite side of the day use area. You can see both from the same spot. Now, a word of caution about all public hot springs, and this one in particular, is that you never know how crowded it's going to be or what kind of people you're going to find. I don't think I would stop here on a weekend. I would definitely target midweek, earlier in the morning or something like that, because it definitely gets packed. But that's just me. You never know exactly what you're going to find. McCready, I would say, doesn't have the same reputation for trouble as some places like Umpqua, which we talked about previously. It does, however, have a reputation for naked truckers frequenting these hot springs. So just a word of caution there. So those are my main recommendations for the Willamette Pass for this coming spring snow season. One thing I didn't mention that's very popular out there is snowmobiling. So if that's your bag, head down to the Crescent or Chemult area. There's a ton of places to rent a sled, miles of terrain to explore. As I mentioned on this podcast, I love snowmobiling, but I'm working on a journalist salary here, so it just isn't my bag on a regular basis, which is why I tend to stick to skiing and snowshoeing. Okay, so that's all I've got for the Willamette Pass area. To get more information, I highly recommend contacting the Middle Fork Ranger District Station right there in Oak Ridge, Westphal. You can stop in, you can call them in advance, but they can answer a lot of the questions you might have. All right, well, that's about all the time we have left in today's show. If you like what you've heard, check out our catalog of more than 60 episodes featuring Oregon's most beautiful and interesting places at statesmanjournal.com/explore, along with Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. We'd once again like to thank our sponsors, beginning with the American Forest Resources Council. AFRC supports responsible forestry on public lands throughout the Pacific Northwest for our environment, for our economy, and for the future. Learn more at amforests.org. We'd also like to thank Visit Tillamook Coast. If you want to plan a trip out there, you can check out their outdoor recreation map that shows all the places to hike, swim, boat, and camp. You can find that map at tillamookcoast.com/recreation-map. Once again, that's tillamookcoast.com/recreation-map. And thanks to the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, which stresses the importance of recreating responsibly and leaving no trace in Oregon's outdoors. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for the next edition of the Explore Oregon podcast.